al mundo la antorcha olímpica se ha transformado en una lección de derechos humanos para la Unión Americana. Beatriz Salas amplía la información.
Decidir sobre quiénes serán los portadores de la antorcha en la ceremonia inaugural de los Juegos Olímpicos de Invierno en Pekín es la responsabilidad de China, y Estados Unidos no está en posición de hacer comentarios despectivos. Así respondió Pekín a la reciente interferencia de Washington, quien aseveró que la elección de China del atleta de la etnia Uyghur, Denijir Dilamujian, para llevar la antorcha olímpica es un esfuerzo de Pekín para distraer la atención del llamado genocidio en la región de Xinjiang.
Los llamados comentarios de genocidio de Estados Unidos son la gran mentira del siglo y exponen su intento de politizar los Juegos Olímpicos de Invierno y su siniestra intención de utilizar el tema relacionado con Xinjiang para difamar a China.
China asimismo acusó a Estados Unidos de mentir de manera descarada sobre las minorías étnicas, mientras olvida sistemáticamente discriminaciones en su propio suelo.
Estados Unidos llevó a cabo un genocidio contra los nativos americanos en el pasado y ha discriminado sistemáticamente a las minorías raciales a largo plazo. La población de nativos americanos se ha desplomado de 5 millones a finales del siglo XV a unos 250 mil a principios del siglo XX, reduciéndose a una vigésima parte. ¿Qué es el genocidio? Las políticas que Estados Unidos ha impuesto a los nativos americanos son un verdadero genocidio.
Zhao, además de criticar la discriminación racial contra los africanos y asiáticos en Estados Unidos, dijo que elegir a un atleta de la etnia Uyghur muestra que la política de China de promover los deportes de invierno y mejorar la salud de las personas está beneficiando a individuos de todos los grupos étnicos y prueba que no existe discriminación.
Lo que Estados Unidos debería estar haciendo es revisar cuidadosamente sus propios crímenes históricos contra los nativos americanos y tomar medidas concretas para reducir la discriminación racial contra estas personas y otras minorías raciales, como los africanos y asiáticos.
China, en reiteradas ocasiones, ha instado a Estados Unidos a dejar de usar los asuntos vinculados con Xinjiang para difundir mentiras, interferir en los asuntos internos de China o intentar detener el desarrollo del país. Advierte que, de lo contrario, Pekín dará una respuesta más contundente a la luz del desarrollo de la situación. Beatriz Salas, con información de Niloufar Shakuri, Hispan TV Noticias.
Migrantes de todos los rincones del mundo duermen bajo su mismo cielo estrellado. Me los encuentro en las calles, en los cines, en los supermercados, y el olor de sus comidas me embriaga de placer. Todos ellos son mis vecinos.
Y yo aquí vivo, bajo sus leyes domésticas, pago impuestos y mis manos producen la riqueza nacional.
Soy parte de esa comunidad que vive, trabaja y sueña con una mañana mejor para nuestras familias.
Casi todos migrantes como yo, casi todos soñadores como yo.
Trabajemos pues en la construcción de otra nación que nos haga dignos.
Seamos los arquitectos de nuestro sueño colectivo.
Esta radio no tiene comerciales porque tú nos apoyas. Si ya has hecho una aportación económica, te damos las gracias. Si no, hazlo ahora en kpfk.org o llama al 818-985-5735.
Así llegamos al final de esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Nuestro más profundo agradecimiento a todos los medios y personas que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Norma Martínez, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
Told me, you know, we'll give you a day, we'll give you a week, however long it takes for you to accept our help to be healed and to become a child of God and denounce being gay.
Honoring the memory of Dr. Anonymous, coming up on the Rainbow Minute.
I got three quarters of the way through several times and was like, well, I have no idea how this would end, so I have to start over. But one thing I know is I can't end a story without hope.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappell. Nicaragua's NGO Purge targets its oldest queer group. Gay Taiwanese movie sings out a universal love song and upending the artistic process with Amanda Kayback. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
And coming up next, it's the, well, I guess we could call it the October 12th, 2023 edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. What this really is a way back flashback to the days before we actually had a show on pirate radio, which began in 1995. This was in 1990 in the summer when we were doing some heavy, intense activity around ending the sleeping ban in Santa Cruz. Well, I wasn't outside myself. I was supplying literature, tables, publicity to some extent. The people who were doing this were a really hearty band of homeless folks led by Jay Green. I called him Jabberwocky Jay because he had a sort of a colorful way of speaking. There was Potshot Pete Pascal. There was Storman Norman. There was Linda the Lark Edwards, none of whom are around anymore. There are a few who I've seen occasionally, but not really from this 1990 crew. What happened was there was this, you'll actually hear it described in this long flashback, which is essentially I would say it's 4 hours of recording of a protest that I called the First Homeless Congress or the 4th of July rally, or it was a homeless civil rights movement that was attended by several hundred people, somewhere between 100 and 200, some of whom bussed in from Berkeley and Oakland, perhaps from Sacramento. Some came from Santa Barbara. After an appeal made at a national organization in Sacramento, a California Housing Conference, perhaps, made by people who were doing a long protest in Santa Cruz, perhaps the longest, although it's often a little hard to tell. Immediately after the 1989 earthquake, after homeless people were arrested differentially and cited for sleeping outside, even though, of course, ordinary housed people were also sleeping outside, some people began setting up, well, it was actually Jabberwocky Jay and Loudmouth Leith Austin, as I called him, Rainbow Light, as he called himself, who set up a table first in front of City Hall and then moved to the corner where Food Not Bombs used to serve outside the main post office. At that point, there was a bus stop there and a bus depot and a bench, and homeless folks set up what I call the homeless table, which was a table which distributed literature urging the end of the sleeping ban, publicizing instances of police abuse and so forth. And they were repeatedly arrested and harassed by police over an 8-month period, but they kept coming back. And it was a 24-hour vigil. And it, as I said, it eventually resulted in two of the main vigilers, I think Jay and Pete, I know it was Jay, I'm not sure if it was Pete, going to this Sacramento, California homeless conference and getting them to vote to hold and fund an event on July 4th, 1990. It was actually, I guess, 4 or 5 months after they went in February or March to this conference. And the funding involved funding buses to bring homeless people from some of the large urban areas like Oakland, San Francisco, Berkeley, And I think Los Angeles came up too, as well as Santa Barbara. And you're going to hear a lot of this discussed in here, talked about, and you'll hear, you'll actually be able to pick up on it if you're hardy enough to sit through this. Some of it is hard to hear, but a lot of it isn't. A lot of it is pretty clear. And I'm really kind of recording this as a historical document for people who want to hear the actual voices of the folks who were struggling in that period. I guess we're talking, what, 33 years ago now? Yeah. And I'll probably be talking about it in future shows as to the ultimate outcome. We didn't get the sleeping ban changed in Santa Cruz. That's, as you'll hear, and as most of you who are regular listeners already know, it was the law in the books which makes it illegal to sleep after 11 o'clock at night, cover up with blankets, or to set up any kind of a structure or tent as protection against the elements in order to rest or sleep. You might say, well, isn't that unconstitutional? And the answer is, of course, it's always been unconstitutional. But throughout American history, disfavored groups don't get their rights until they stand up for them, or until for some reason the majority needs their assistance. It doesn't just happen by itself. Anyway, I'm going to just sort of begin this long series of audios, which was recorded by a man named John Stewart. I called him Judgment Day John. He was a survivor of and an articulate opponent of psychiatric abuses in the community involving forced drugging, forced hospitalization, electroshock, and other so-called therapies to deal with so-called mental illness, which we're all going to be seeing come around again, and we are seeing them come around again, as the care courts and the proposal to institute Laura's Laws. Well, Laura's Law has not been accepted by Santa Cruz County, but there are still those who are pushing for it, and instead there's been a weakening of the protections of those who John was fighting for, his friends who were, some of whom were incarcerated in psych wards and so forth. Anyway, he interviews a lot of folks here in the course of this 4 hours or so. And you're also going to hear voices from a march that happened. What happened was this protest happened on the 4th of July. It was, as I said, bussed in to some extent, although a lot of Santa Cruzans were involved, in San Lorenzo Park. And then we marched around to City Hall, where there was a counter-protest by a group of get-em-out-of-town people led by Carol Busenhart, called the Take Back Santa Cruz group, or the Red Shirts, so-called because their red shirts were emblazoned with the slogan, Take Back Santa Cruz. Actually, no, it was Take Back Our Town. Take Back Santa Cruz was later. That happened, it was kind of the, about 10 or 12 or 15 years ago, you had this group, Take Back Santa Cruz, which is still powerful and elected a lot of people to city council. One of them became the mayor. But a Take Back Our Town was led by an out-of-town hairdresser, a woman named Carol Busenhart. And we don't have any audio of them in this particular demonstration, because these were about the voices of the homeless. And there was a sort of a conflict in the leadership here. There were a group of liberals in Santa Cruz who wanted to end the 8.5-month vigil in front of the post office that Jabberwocky Jay and Pete Pascal and all these folks were doing, demanding an end to the sleeping ban, and again essentially threatening to keep coming back until the city paid some attention. And all they would do is, of course, send out the police and arrest them and destroy their literature and confiscate their tables and so forth. And the liberals, of course, didn't like this, but they didn't want they were thought it was it had to be some way to stop embarrassing the so-called progressive majority on city council, because in Santa Cruz City Council at that time was a so-called progressive majority, as has frequently been the case. The people who call themselves progressive are anything but with respect to homeless folks. And that kind of conflict, I don't really have time or energy at the moment to go into, but I will action and have talked about it on my other shows. And if you go to the Huff website, huffsantacruz.org, if this subject interests you, go to huffsantacruz.org and look up under the names of my the name of my various shows from the past, Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. You can find discussions, particularly in the mid-90s, which is when I began these netcasts. And you can also find stuff further back, when I actually was doing interviews and we had speeches at City Council in the early 90s and the late 80s, even though we didn't have access to pirate radio, which only began for us in 1995. So, as I mentioned before, is there anything else I want to say? Well, I'll just name some of the names of the folks, but I think they identify themselves. Some of them don't. As I mentioned before, Jabberwocky J. Green, Judgment Day John Stewart is your interviewer, interviews a lot of the people. The first voice you'll hear will be that of John Stewart interviewing J. Green. And you had activists Linda Edwards, Barbara Haglin, Mike Wilson from the Santa Barbara Homeless Coalition, Baba Ito, who I believe I may have talked about on a show more recently. Apparently he was held in psych wards, and he's been he's still surviving, but his weight was very much reduced, according to Keith McHenry. But at this time, 30 years ago, he was a very active, articulate fellow, very kind of his rhetoric was of the spiritual sort. He kind of presented himself as a healer who tried to assist the community in that way. Berkeley Homeless Union sent folks. A lot of it is self-explanatory. I hope it is, anyway. Some of it is. I have not listened to every single bit of this audio, but I thought it was worth making available for you to listen to, if you wish, what I heard of it. So listen to it, enjoy it. See that, historically speaking, we're facing the same problem, which is essentially that the solution is to pacify the courts and to essentially drive homeless people out of sight and out of town or into programs where they can be kind of isolated from the rest of the community, supposedly because they have something wrong with their brains or their minds or their some aspect of them led them to this unfortunate situation. When in reality, in my view, of course, it has a lot fundamentally to do with the housing situation, the employment situation, and the way society rewards and punishes folks who don't contribute to the ongoing, well, stuff like the war machine. Although, of course, it's now being done with a lot more mechanical stuff and artificial intelligence, and it's all been mechanized and so forth. But anyway, here's a window into the past. What we need to do, of course, is to use it as a road into the future to make the kinds of choices we need to make to, well, for me, it's always been find ways to encourage people to both stand up to injustice and also recognize the importance of being in solidarity with those who do that. So, check it out.
Yes. bell going on around me.
If that happens, I'd love to hear it. Please
thank you.
For the purpose of starting off that protest against the camping ban, police harassment, to decriminalize homelessness. There are a lot of people gathered around, and a lot of them have a lot of things to say, so let them say it.
Well, we were here. We put a lot of time and effort in to try to decriminalize homelessness. Apparently not getting real far because no one seems to want to listen to the problem. Which are many and solutions are few. This independent state, we hope to change a lot of things here in Santa Cruz and throughout America. So far since I've been in Santa Cruz, I've been discriminated against several ways. Tried to get a host on in several places, and I've been arrested 7 times for various sleeping
morning, day. What's happening?
Which I don't feel is really a crime. The crime is when the cops come in and arrest you for doing something with natural body function.
I don't know.
Some people may want housing. Free to travel around the country.
There's got to be somebody up at our table sometime too today.
And the question is what are we doing here today? Okay, well, this is first of all, we're having a good breakfast here today, a compliment of Sandy, and looks like Food Not Bombs and Ginger Snap George, and we're going to have a bunch of good meals here today, and we're here at San Lorenzo Park, and I see you're holding up my flyer, come out of hibernation and sleep with the homeless in Santa Cruz, California, this is July 4th, made by art designer Cynthia Bruner. Well, the whole point of this, of course, is to challenge the Santa Cruz City sleeping ban, which, as most everybody here knows, makes it illegal to sleep outside after the hour 11 o'clock at night. So for a lot of people, that means they have to worry about policemen waking them up and hassling them. They mean tickets for some, and they mean arrests for others. It means a number of barbaric intrusions on the people's privacy just because they don't have a house and they have nowhere to sleep. Big cities, you don't find this to be the case. People are not arrested for sleeping. Although, they're planning to sweep the parks up in San Francisco, primarily because, of course, the desert is an eyesore by the more anyway, here we're going to have a march. We're going to have bands. We're going to have people milling about having a good time. We're going to have interviewers like yourself. Who is this version of reality indeed? So in other words, we're going to have a lot of fun.
Notice why this is called a Congress.
Well,
California Homeless Congress.
It was intended to bring people from different parts of California together who are homeless. And they ever show up, then that's what's going to happen. Right now the buses haven't shown up yet, but we're hoping they'll arrive soon. We're going to, I mean, it's not like a national Congress where every borough and town is represented, but there are going to be a lot of people represented here, and a lot of different stories, and hey, you're going to have a field day that night.
Oh, yeah, the cruisers. You want to say something?
Sure.
You feel like saying something about why you're here?
Well, I came to see anyone that opened their find a job, get with hard. I'm a citizen of this town.
Coming in for Saturday?
I find it
others need to take the one move.
What are you doing here today? What's going on?
Well, but anyway, number one, I think you should have restrooms on every corner of downtown mall. That is the first priority. Because after hours on the mall, and no bathroom. That's number one priority. Number two, where the homeless going to sleep after hours? Where the homeless going to eat? You got to have a place to eat, the place to take showers. You got to have an honesty to make it homeless people, happy people, and barbecue people. And all over the country, the same thing. Homeless is everywhere. I've been there, and I saw it from it. And the government ever wakes up in Santa Cruz, they will know what's going on here. And it's about time to wake up and help all people right here in the United States. Don't worry what's going on all over the world and Africa. Worry about the old people served at home. That's our first priority. Here in Santa Cruz, all over the world. Worry about the old people. Don't let the old people starve again. That's against the Constitution.
I hear you. All right. Would you like to say something?
Yep.
Okay. It's all right.
Namely the police, the sheriffs, the FBI, the law enforcement are really cracking down, and repression is happening more and more right now. And I'm an Earth Firster and an animal liberation activist, and I'm getting it right now. And I feel a lot of solidarity with the homeless because of that, and I want to support them. I also feel like in this town, there's a great majority of us that are really close to homelessness. I mean, if I lost my job, I'd be out in the street because most of us are renters. We're poor. We don't have any money, and we're all in the same boat. I'm also working a business downtown, and we've been getting these little memos from the Downtown Association and from Sergeant
whatever his stupid name is, the guy that beat the shit out of that guy, and he's a Nazi. I mean, they need to be stopped. We have to stop them, because I was here 5 and 6 years ago when there was troll busting going on, and it's sick. It's totally sick, and it has to be stopped, so that's why I'm here.
You want to say a few words about why you're here and what's going on?
Well, I'm here first to have fun.
All right.
And second, just to show people that, you know, we can get together and do things. Things will come together without us needing any help or interference from the government. Right? We can do what we need to do without having anyone messing with our stuff. You know? Basically, like freedom of... it's like Independence Day, so we can be independent.
Right. Yeah.
So we don't need checks, you know, so we can just do whatever we want to.
Yeah.
And I believe each of us has a right to, like, sleep on the earth, and, you know, to live on the earth. And as long as we don't claim it and say, you can't come here, then we haven't, you know, you can't buy the earth, you know.
But sharing.
Yeah, we got to learn to share.
All right. Would you like to say a few words about why you're here? What's going on?
Yeah, why I'm here is the 4th of July. It's supposed to be Independence Day. And what I'm speaking out more for Independence Day is to have more homes, more shelters, more the things to help homeless people. And this epidemic we're having in this country right now, and they are denying more American people of their freedom, and they're isolating people, and this country is in a hell of a shape.
Yeah, they're isolating people.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I hear you.
Well, like, you know, they try to pass laws, like in San Jose, and they run a bunch of homeless people out from under the bridge. Starting tomorrow in San Francisco, they're using the same tactics. What they're doing is getting city council to vote in certain laws and using the police department as ruthless people. They come in and just run the people out. You know, when they're supposed to be helping American people to find places to live and get medical treatment and different things.
Yeah.
Right. That's one reason I like to speak and speak up.
All right.
And I thank you for your time.
All right. Would you like to say a few words about why you're here and what's going on here today?
Well, hopefully to change the law of the camping ban, and at least to see solidarity and support from people all over California. It looks like we're starting to get a big crowd here. I hope that it changes or make people aware of the unjust laws that's in this city and other cities around, because a lot of homeless people, you know, are getting the shaft. I mean, what they're doing is they're making people criminals because they don't have anywhere to sleep. And what they're doing is they're making all these laws, and they're even wanting to make them stiffer. And they're wanting all the homeless people out of the city. So if you leave one city and you go to another city, you get kicked out of there. So you keep going. So we're going to have to stop. We're going to have to start fighting back. So that's what we're here for, and I hope it's successful.
All right. So why are you here today, and what's going on with you today?
See, I'm here because... this is homeless. This is sad. I'm from L.A., and it's worse in L.A., but the police aren't anything like they are here.
Yeah.
It's total, excuse the expression, bullshit.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Police down there, you flip them off, they'll flip you back off with a smile. They don't care if you sleep in the street.
Yeah.
This is bullshit, straight up.
Yeah.
There's no use for it.
Right on. How long you been up here?
I've been up here for 2.5, almost 3 months now.
Uh-huh. All right. And it's worse here than in L.A.? Is that what you're telling us?
Being homeless, it is.
All right. You know, there are people that say that this place should be called Santa Claus for the homeless because everybody wants to come here. You're saying that's not true?
it's not good for the homeless here. No.
Because of the sleeping van?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Because of the fucking police. Fuck the sleeping van.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, babe.
Did I?
Yeah. I've got a car. I've been mad with that before.
My problem is my table is on the bottom of the phone.
Would you like to say a few words about why you're here today and what's going on?
Sure. I want to give my support to the homeless. My hope and prayer is that Santa Cruz people will open their hearts and have compassion and help people to find homes and food and jobs.
Thank you. Would you like to say a few words about why you're here and what's going on here today?
Oh, wow. Sometimes words are very inadequate. I'm here because I love my brothers and sisters. And I'm here because I see light at the end of the tunnel, and that light is getting brighter and bigger. And I'm here because being one of the homeless, I learned what it was to be my brother's keeper. And if people hadn't held out their hand to me to lead me out of that pit of darkness and that hell of fear and terror and it was horrible most of my life. Why, what can I say? These people are human beings, and everybody's loved equally by God, and I love everybody too. And it's great to see people who are living in homes coming and joining in with us. If we become united, we can rebuild a Santa Cruz, a beautiful Santa Cruz. But divided, we're going to fall flat on our asses, if you'll pardon me, Lord. Excuse me. But I want to help, and I want to be part of it. And after all, I went to jail for sleeping and feeding the hungry. I guess I want to be part of the peaceful part, too. And it's a joy to see everybody and to be here.
I want to say that I'm from Poland.
At this point in time, gentlemen, for posterity, we will say we are here, and we want you to recognize us.
Would you like to say a few words about why you're here and what's going on here today?
Hopefully it might make a better life for us.
Amen. That's it. Amen to that. Would you like to say a few words about why you're here and what's going on?
I'm here because I was hungry. I just got out of jail 2 days ago. I didn't have no place else to go.
All right.
So, you know, I know a lot of street people, and street people love me, and I love them. That's why I'm on the street.
Amen. All right.
Thank God for the people.
So would you like to say a few words about why you're here and what's going on here today?
Oh, I want to help support the homeless, especially here in Santa Cruz, the way they treat them. They dehumanize the problem of homelessness. And I was homeless. I had lived in my car for 5 years up in Sonoma County. And it was not fun, let me tell you. But I finally was able to get the paperwork together, medical-wise and lawyer-wise, to get my SSI, and now I have my own little place, thank God.
All right, thank you. So would you like to say a few words about why you're here and what's going on here today?
Well, I'm from Mike Wilson from the Santa Barbara Homeless Coalition, and I was at the April 2nd and 3rd statewide Sacramento Conference, where Santa Cruz was designated as a meeting place for homeless advocates and people around the state to discuss the problems and try to come up with solutions. And basically I felt it was important enough to put my time and effort into, and from looking around now, and I see several hundred people here from all over the state, I'm reassured to see others from around the state that feel the same way.
Would you like to say a few words about how you got here?
Well, we put together a walk from Santa Barbara to Santa Cruz, and took about 52 days of actual walking. It was a wonderful experience. We got to meet a lot of people, and we got to get the word out through the newspaper and the television stations and the radio all up the coast about the July 4th conference here, and inviting people to come on up.
All right. Thank you. To say a few words about why you're here and what this sign is about?
Maybe a little later, not right now.
Okay, thank you.
Totally.
Folks like to say something about why you're here and what's going on here in the park today?
Would you like to say
a few words about what's going on here today and what this is all about?
This is about humanitarian issues, the plight of the oppressed, poor, and homeless. This is to bring about healing, to create a better situation here in the Santa Cruz area and outlying areas as far as liable, viable tent city goes, as far as working on humanitarian issues and creating positiveness versus confrontation and conflict.
Amen.
Thank you.
Would you like to say a few words about why you're here today and what's going on?
Well, we're just observers, and the reason we're here, I suppose, is because we were concerned about the counter demonstration and hoping there wouldn't be any conflict between the parties. So we are here to see if anything like that happens, and we hope nothing does. It certainly looks like a perfectly peaceful little group so far.
All right. And, thank you. Yeah. Anything more?
I just wish that a gathering of standard citizens could be this peaceable, frankly. It would be a lot easier country to live in.
Thank you.
Yeah, go for it.
Could I ask you, would you like to say a few words about why you're here and what's going on here today and what you see, what your sentiments are and all?
Well, that's a good question. Why am I here? It's like I got stuck out in the streets. You know, I'm trying to get off of drugs. And trying to keep off of drugs and alcohol, I lost my job. And then I found out I lost my home. And, you know, my priorities right now are to my drugs recovery, you know, trying to stay clean. And, well, I go down and get me another job, and it's like DMVs. Took my driver's license.
Yeah.
And why? Because I lost my job, because I couldn't keep up with my insurance and this and that, you know? So, and I'm a class one driver's license.
Uh-huh.
I've got a class one.
Uh-huh.
And with a class one driver's license, I could go to work tomorrow, but, you know, with all these bullshit laws that they've got put in, I mean, right and left, I mean, you know, I lost my driver's license again, and I can't go back to work. And, with you know, it's a catch-22.
Yeah.
I can't work until I get my driver's license squared away. I don't have the money to do that because I'm not working. I mean, you know, it's a bunch of bullshit. So basically, I'm here because I guess to be free, you got to have money.
Yeah.
To be American, to be free, you got to have money, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a little bit more there. There's something about, I don't know, it's... What was I thinking? Oh, yeah. So, you know, it's just plain mismanagement by the government.
Yeah.
So I got registered to vote, and all the incumbents, I voted them out of office.
Yeah.
And
let me ask you another question. You recently lost a job?
I recently lost a job.
Well, tell me, how helpful are the local government agencies and charitable organizations in helping you out? Is there that much help out there?
Yeah, no. It's like... Okay, capable of staying eating at the Catholic Kitchen. Now that's a charitable organization. I'm also staying at the Vietnam Veterans of California Starlight program. It's a DUCE program at the Starlight Hotel in Santa Rosa, California.
Yeah.
And what it is it's run by the VA Vietnam Veterans, but it's not a VA organization.
It's charitable.
It's charitable. The state ain't doing nothing for me.
State's not doing anything.
I can't qualify for unemployment. I can't do this. I can't do that. Welfare, I have no home address, you know, until I just got my home address because of this charitable organization. Other than that, I was sleeping in my car.
How about any kind of retraining program?
I'm looking into them, but for VA, I got to be laid off 15 out of 16 weeks to qualify for one. I'm looking into my resources. Right now, I was more worried about food on the table.
And bureaucracy?
Well, yeah, you know, it's just like, well, with worried about the food on the table, who's worried about a job, you know?
Yeah.
You're nickel diamond and you're panhandling. I felt really bad about that. I tried once, and the look that the person got on their face, I just, oh, no, can't do that again.
Yeah.
But what happened was I got put in this VVC, Veterans of Vietnam, California. Veterans of Vietnam, California. What we did was, you know, they said, hey, look, here's sources of income, check into them, you know, gave me phone numbers and, you know, a way to check into it. But right now, yeah, I'm just putting my head back down on the ground. But when I was in my car, I was worried about being, you know, given a ticket, losing my license, getting arrested, losing everything else that was in the car.
you know. I put everything in the car and moved out of my house, and now where do I stay? You know, I got to worry about this damn cop pulling me over and giving me a ticket and saying, hey, you're arrested for driving without a driver's license, and then impounding my car, and then what, some jerk that drives a tow truck gets my car and everything else that I own,
yeah.
And all I'm capable of carrying off is what I've got,
right.
You know, and is that cop going to let me carry a traveling bag? No, man, all he's doing is arresting, fuck those pigs.
Yeah.
That's exactly my sentiment as far as the government's concerned.
Yeah.
I go walking on down the street, and if I don't cross the street properly, you know, do I get a ticket for jaywalking? And then what happens? I go to court and fix that up. What do I get? Taxed without proper representation.
Good.
That's exactly what we're doing
July
right now.
July 4th, Independence Day?
July the 4th, man, this seems exactly what's going on here. You know, here I joined the service, went in, gave up my, you know, I was a Boy Scout.
Yeah.
Hey, shit, man. And then here it is. This seems exactly what needs to be going on is 4th of July, you know? The movie. Born on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, it's like, it's sad that our government is doing what it's doing, you know? Mismanaging everything. I mean, we should be running our cars on alcohol instead of this petroleum.
Yeah.
And all centralized, you know, sources of that. And it's just taxing us because they're mismanaging everything, you know? And it's scary on the streets.
Yeah.
Not only do you have to worry about somebody slicing your throat, but a cop throwing you in jail.
Yeah.
You can't be free. You know?
Sort of blame the homeless. Blame the homeless for everything, right?
Well, it's basically, you know, it's an immature statement on their part because, you know, it's a form of denial.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're denying that they exist because they can't deal with the problem.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really immature where instead of, you know, just having a good time and being happy and letting things go, they got some redneck, ignorant cop out there, you know, beating people up. I mean, I've noticed several people looking around and saying, hey, look at that over there. There's the cops already, you know? And I don't know.
Well, have a good one.
You too.
If you can.
Yeah, I will.
Are you doing this for yourself? Just for your own?
No, this is for a homeless table.
I say everybody that's here is here by choice.
Huh?
I said everybody that's here is here by choice.
Yeah?
Because you don't want to be ran, you know, told what to do being in them shelters.
Well, what are you doing here? Why are you here?
Why am I here? Because I enjoy my freedom.
Uh-huh.
I like to be told when to do or what to do.
Uh-huh.
Say, I'm a grown man. I'm 40 years old. I don't need nobody to tell me what to do.
Uh-huh.
I've lived this long. I'm going to continue living.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for about 14 years.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty reasonable.
So was that by choice or something?
Yeah, by choice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, by choice.
All right.
Like the guy's sign right there said, Jesus was homeless by choice. So are a lot of us.
Yeah, I see.
A lot of us are.
Yeah.
I carry my own home, tan, everything. I just go anywhere and sleep.
All right.
That's what we got to do.
All right.
Just never give up.
All right. Anybody like to say a few words about why you're here and what's going on?
What are you representing there?
This is a tape for the homeless table.
Oh, well, speaking for myself, I'm here to support the homeless in their efforts and to observe what's going on so that there will be they will have a peaceful demonstration.
Are you from Santa Cruz?
I'm from Santa Cruz, yeah.
Yeah. Anybody else like to say
I'm in the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And so they are. Maybe I should let Pat say that.
Yeah, I'm from Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and we have been discussing what we could do to help at our board meetings for the last few months, and we have this lady here collected hundreds and hundreds of muffins, and while we support our city council in their efforts to keep the city running smoothly, we have the empathy and the feeling that the homeless situation is much broader than just where to sleep for that one particular night. And so we work towards having a different budget that would put low-income housing as a top priority and military spending as maybe one of the lowest priorities.
Thank you.
I just feel that we need to pay attention to this issue, that it is not by choice that people are homeless. And for those people who say that, that's a denial of the real issue and the real problem. And I think we have to handle it on not just a local level, but on a national level, and get our officials in Washington to get off their duffs and do something about it. Because it's not going to go away, and it's going to grow, and we're going to have real trouble on our hands if they don't do something soon.
You're talking about this homeless by choice. Do you think you could tell at a distance that somebody was homeless by choice?
No, I don't think you can tell that at all. I don't think you can tell it any more than you can tell somebody's religion or somebody's sexual preference by looking at anybody. And I think that everybody has a right to make that choice. However, I do think that more of the homeless are homeless not by choice, but because they have no other alternative, because of the situation that exists in the communities and in the whole country.
It's very good. It's
yeah. What do you see happening today? Why are you here?
Well, I'm with the Berkeley Homeless Union. And she's right. A lot of people are not, like they said, homeless by choice. I mean, they can't afford housing. I mean, if a lot of people are in GA or SSI. I mean, with SSI, you're getting more money. But with GA, $340 a month, then how are you supposed to afford housing? How are you going to eat? You know, what we need is more affordable housing for the homeless people.
Uh-huh. All right. Is it a nice ride down from Berkeley?
Yeah.
How's Berkeley these days? Is there a camping ban, sleeping ban up there? Are people arrested for sleeping?
No, but the cops were like arresting people for sleeping in the park during daytime just this past week, but now we stopped that. I mean, they're stopped it, and so we're not really having too much. I mean, we're still having problems, but we have other organizations like Cop Watch, which take incident reports from the homeless people when the cops arrest and stuff like that.
Cop Watch, huh?
Yeah, Cop Watch.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Hey, thanks.
So would you like to say a few words about why you're here? Or what do you see going on with the...
I'm here because I don't see any reason why people shouldn't have housing. I mean, housing is a right for everybody. It's in the Constitution. And people are being oppressed and abused, and there's no reason for that. There's abuse by the cops. There's abuse by other civilians.
Yeah.
I think there's a big need to educate everybody about how the situation has come to be and what it's like now.
Uh-huh. All right. Thank you. Would you like to say a few words about why you're here and what do you see going on today?
Well, I see a lot of things I want to change myself.
Yeah.
In the Oakland Union of the Homeless. So we came out at Santa Cruz to see if we can help Santa Cruz homeless, you know.
All right, you came down
support their action.
Yeah. You came down from Oakland?
Yes, support
all right.
Santa Cruz action.
Welcome down.
Well, you know, any town that have trouble with the law enforcement, homeless, how to deal with homeless, you know, we go to different towns,
right.
You know, to support.
What do you call your organization?
Oakland Union of the Homeless.
Oakland Union of the Homeless. All right.
Not problem.
Does Oakland have anything like the camp ban law that they have down here in Santa Cruz where they can arrest you for sleeping?
Well, we stopped that.
We stopped that
before it started.
All right.
You know, because they was trying that, so we just got out of tents and we slept at parks.
Uh-huh.
You know?
All right.
So the law in Oakland, they is on our side now.
All right.
That's what I've tried to do in the last 2 weeks.
What do we want now?
not too many.
We are veterans too. We are Americans too.
Okay, the county building, folks, is close by. County building is right over here. It's actually right there. That large building there. So what you should do is you should sort of start migrating and find a couple of flowers and grass and continue our talk there. Yeah, so we do this as a march with some speaking as we go, perhaps a little chanting.
Yeah.
Let people know how we feel about what's going on here. Why don't we begin down here? We're going to go to the county building now. Grab a sign if you got one.
Hey, can I look at ID? Who's that? I'm looking this side, right? It's your side?
Is he already here?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Come on, dude. Let's get together.
Would you like to say a few words about heading over here for the speeches?
Well, I'm looking forward to it, but I was a little amazed at the other group. I thought it was kind of irresponsible for them after we kind of walked the extra mile to make sure, we weren't the ones to try to create a volatile situation for them to come by. Sure, help yourself, bro.
Right. What do you think about them driving cars by out there like that?
Well, I don't mind them driving by, but I mean, for them to sit there and start heckling and stuff like that, it's the kind of thing that could get out of hand and suck everybody into their anger and anxiety.
Yeah. I heard you talking back there about their anger. What do you think about that? What is that?
I think a lot of it has to do with just fear of the unknown, a lot of stereotypes. And other than that, I'm at a loss, and it's a mystery to me like anybody else.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Would you like to say a few words about what's going on here, what was going on back there with the cars driving by?
Well, I think that the homeless community in Santa Cruz voted to try to avoid any potential for conflict because they were both concerned for the future discussion of homelessness in this community and also for the welfare of the city as a whole, and made a very responsible decision to move the action, and that the other counter-demonstrators, knowing that, obviously very intentionally came over here anyway, even though we had made a clear choice to avoid being in their path. And I think that needs to just be on record for itself, that they came over here and sought people out and were, I think, attempting to kind of up the ante and see what kind of flare-ups could be created. And I really respect and admire the community here for responding the way they did and just going on with their own action.
Thank you.
my perspective, and invite various Santa Cruz speakers to speak, and to give people a chance from each area to speak as well. Because this is a statewide struggle. In San Francisco tomorrow, as I understand it, police are going to begin clearing the Civic Center Park. Limited social services, and they're using it as a pretext to pull out their pull off the soft gloves and move in and roll everybody out of there. In Santa Cruz, what we've got here is a situation where there's a law, and that law is called the Santa Cruz Sleeping Ban. What that ban does is it makes every person who is homeless outside or in her car or under a bridge or falls asleep at a cup of coffee in a restaurant liable to arrest and ticketing after 11 o'clock at night. Now, the police in this town don't always enforce this law. It's not like they run around the streets enforcing it on every single occasion. But they do enforce it. And they particularly enforce it against those people who have been trying to change that law, who have been protesting that law, who have been trying to get the city council, which has the option by a majority vote to change that law, or just to consider it, to hold public hearings on it. That's all that's being asked. And that has been consistently refused year after year by the city council. In fact, they have become so militant and so unwilling to consider the wishes of their own homeless population, they actually arrest people at council meetings for speaking. This happened to me, it's happened to other people. Not for disrupting the meeting, but for speaking beyond their 3-minute time limit. So we're here to talk about homeless issues all over the state. We're going to hear speakers from every locality that's come here. But I think we should start with Santa Cruz. We should start with the people who are here. Start with the people who have been in the middle of this struggle here in Santa Cruz. And I guess the guy I'm looking for right now is Jay Green. Because this man, Jay Green,
protest and the negotiations that seem to be going on. My current tally is pretty high now, so I'm going to lighten up on the civil disobedience for the purpose of promoting the discussions and essentially peace talks between the government and the street people. It seems there's been a pretty hot going war for a long time, and I'm looking for a peaceful solution to it.
Amen.
I want to remind everybody here that this is your Congress. It's for the purpose of your opening your voice and speaking out, so I'm not going to waste a lot of time with my mind. Express your own opinions, express them to each other, express them to the people you feel represent you, and then go home and tell them what's going on and get more input and just keep the lines of communication open and going and alive, and we'll get the message through. Thank you.
I see the hands of people from Santa Cruz and those who want to speak here. Okay, we've got a number of people. Let me start with this hardworking guy off to the side who's playing the music for us all in about an hour. His name is Sawe.
What's happening,
Robert?
So are you from down around here?
Center of town,
paying rent, working part-time job. I was a driver for Caravan, which is a transportation company for disabled people. And one night I had a really, really bad and very intense argument with my girlfriend. And we both decided that the best thing to do would be for me to move out. And I moved out the next day and went and stayed with friends. And I had about $25 in my bank account, and that was it. And I used up my stay with friends. They were very generous, but there was no way that I could crash their house for 2 to 3 months as I was looking to save up for first, last, and deposit. If you have $25 in your name, it costs about $900 to get into a room in Santa Cruz. The average rent here is something like $300. Okay. So I stayed with some friends for a week. I stayed with some other friends for 2 weeks. And then I went up to the University of Santa Cruz with a tent that I had borrowed from some of my friends and pitched it up there in the woods. And I was busted within 1 week and forced to move off the campus in the middle of the night. It was 3 in the morning. So I went back to my friend's house, and at this point I was getting really desperate. I was still holding my job. And I was really frustrated and very, very scared. So I called up all the social services. I looked in the People's Yellow Pages. I called up the River Street Shelter. Everything was full. All the beds were taken. I called up First Step Family Shelter. I called up New Life Family Center, which is a Christian group. Everything was full. I called up Peter Carota's River Street. We have children there. It was full. Everything was full. So the people in Santa Cruz who say that there are adequate services for the 1,900 homeless people in this county, that's a mistake. That's not true. There are not adequate services. I know. So after I tried everything, in desperation, I went down to the homeless table. It was the first time that I'd ever gone down there. I passed by it. Suddenly, I find myself down there asking the people behind the table, Jay and Norman, right over here, hey, where do you guys sleep? Right here, they said. Don't you get ticketed? Don't you get harassed? Yeah, they said, we do. Jay or someone, Norman, pulled out his wad of tickets and showed it to me. I went, my God. But I figured it's a 10-minute bike ride from Caravan, which is over off Ocean Street. I could get there at work in the morning. So, I was arrested and cited twice on 2 different nights for violation of the camp commitment. And I went to court for that. And a week later, it took me about a week to get another job. I got a job as a live-in care provider for retarded folks. And right now I'm doing construction, and I'm subletting a house. So I'm not homeless anymore. But I just want to say that anybody can become homeless. That lazy people become homeless, and that people are homeless because they're lazy. But that's not true. It was hard to be homeless. It was hard to sleep out there on the sidewalk and wake up at 4 in the morning shivering, and I couldn't feel my toes because it was cold. And then an hour later to get arrested or cited by the police for sleeping, and then to go into work the next day and be there on time. And to have my stuff spread out in 3 different locations around town and wonder, where am I going to take a shower? I had stuff stored in the coat room at my job. It takes work to survive on the street. And I want to say to all of you here who've been on, I was on the street for a week. I had resources in town, was staying with friends, and I just want to say to people here in Santa Cruz and in any other part of California, anywhere, who's been homeless and who's homeless now, I just, more power to you. Keep on going. Keep, we're strong.
Coming up in court because when he protested an incident of police brutality, we had a small parade here a month ago. He was invited in to discuss that with the police. They said they were discussing the possibility of dealing with the sergeant who would attacked the man on the street. And when we got to the police station, they invited us in and said, let's talk. And we went into the police station, and they gave us tickets. We were invited to the police station to negotiate, and what we get? We got tickets. He got because you're here. That's why we're actually getting some different treatment. And I really appreciate you coming here. Solidarity from some strange point of view that it makes sense to ticket people for sleeping and then go home. They're going to go home to their beds. But a lot of people here tonight aren't going to go home to beds, yet they're still here. And that says something. I'd like to talk to ask some of the people who are coming from out of town now to speak about. Okay, well, a quick statement from another Santa Cruz person, but this is going to be the last one for the moment because you want to kind of go around and talk to Oakland people and other people coming from out of town. Quick.
I'm no politician, but I want to thank the people that came outside of town. My name is El Clavo, the Nail, and I want to say that because I'm not a politician, I can sort of talk in a way that people may think I'm putting down people, but I'm not. I'm just seeing things. And I'm seeing that when people came from Europe, we gave them a free home in the woods, but we never busted them for sleeping. And now when we try to sleep on Mother Earth, we get a fucking ticket. And I'm trying to say is that is not right, because our home is Mother Earth. It's not a building.
We're going to have some more Santa Cruz speakers, but first I'd like to introduce George Solis, who is going to speak. George has done incredible organizing work to get you folks here, and he's got a statement from Mitch Snyder in Washington, D.C. Shelter ordinance and now feels there is no right to sleep in Washington, D.C. The winters are cold in Washington, D.C. So here's George Solis of the UP, Sonoma County Union of the Homeless.
I talked to Mitch Snyder a few days ago. They have a lot of work to do in Washington with all the cuts in social services. 1,000 points of light are going out, and they're trying to keep them lit. But he sent this message to all of you. Dear friends, because of equally intense battles here in Washington, D.C., I can't be with you in person in Santa Cruz for the first Homeless Congress. Know that if it were at all possible, I would be there. We are in solidarity with your efforts to decriminalize and end homelessness in Santa Cruz, California, and throughout the country. Let there be justice, and then there may be peace. God bless you all, Mitch Snyder. We welcome even the red shirts to this crowd because they're going to hear us. They're going to disagree with us, but somewhere in the middle of their sleep, they're going to find a word of truth. And that a community is not a commodity. It's not something that's bought by merchants. It's not something that this country is not only about business. And a wealthy community isn't figured in dollar amounts. It's figured in the fact that everyone is safely housed, is adequately fed, and is treated equally. For the law.
Okay, we're gonna first spin through some of the folks again who are from other communities, and then we're gonna return to Santa Cruz.
Okay.
First we have a spokesman. Who's the spokesperson for Oakland?
Oakland.
Daryl Waldron from the Oakland Union of the Homeless and has. The homeless is probably the most successful group dealing with homeless problems that I've heard of. policy up in Oakland. They've been dragged away, but they came back. Here they are.
First thing, let's get one thing clear. We are not trash. We're not helpless. We're not the criminals. We're not trash. We're not helpless. And we are not criminals. What we are human beings. Some of us homeless, some of us not. All of us at risk. All of us are at risk. In Oakland, we've had a tremendous amount of trouble. We've been labeled criminals from the police department to city government. But we come to find out that they're the criminals. They're the ones that are telling us that, no, we're not going to support your living habits. We're not going to support you with a roof. We're not going to support you with a food voucher. We're not going to support you with medical care. You women with children, find some place for your children to sleep. We're not going to do that. You know, but we don't agree with that. No, we fight back. We're not a violent organization by any means. We're not a violent organization. But we are a dedicated organization. And everything that we do, we dedicate for human rights as long as civil rights. Housing has always been an issue, not just in Oakland, not just here in Santa Cruz, but across the United States and across the world. And the only way we're going to solve this problem is to stand up. Then our voices be heard. If it takes a civil disobedience, if it takes a direct action, if it takes 27 years in jail, Nelson Mandela, I don't think you understand what I'm saying. We'll do that. But this is where our hope comes from, is standing tall, working together, fighting together. If it takes a protest, let's do that together. But one thing we don't want to do together is watch people die in abandoned cars. We don't want to watch women and children sleep under bridges. We don't want to watch people in doorways. We don't want to tell your next kin that we found you next to a dumpster, but the coroner's office couldn't identify you, but I can. We don't want to do those things, no. We want to see you in fair, decent, affordable housing. And the way to do that is to stand up and make your voices heard.
Michael Levis from San Francisco. Here in San Francisco. There's a real crisis coming up because tomorrow, as I was saying, the police are moving in. So let's hear what Mike has to say.
Okay, I've been there 5 years, and, you know, I'm from Hayward in Boston, California. But the police have to be 4 times because I was a veteran. Panhandling on Stockton and give me all kind of money. I've been here 4 years, 5 years, panhandling, living on the streets, didn't have to nobody. Finally, I got a job. Now, the thing what I'm mad about is the money in San Francisco is not being spent on the homeless project. Nothing. Nothing at all. And why is that? Why is this mayor kicking these people out of the civic center when Mayor Feinstein didn't do that? Why is he doing it? We don't know why he's starting to ticket everybody, put everybody in jail that's homeless, that want to work. There's a lot of homeless people who want to work, but they get turned down because they're homeless. They don't have no place to stay. They think that you can't take a shower, you can't be clean, and everything coming to work. All you got to do is go out to the ocean. You can't be clean and go to work. You know, I live on 250 Kearney Street at Stafford Hotel. I don't like living there and rat infected place and mouses and everything. And that India or whatever he is, he treats you like an animal. Come on, and what he does with his money every 2 months and take it home. Why? That's what he does every 2 months. He flies to India and take his money home. So I don't want to stay there and spend my money there. It doesn't make any sense. So I'm mad about that. I had an incident Saturday when the fire department came there, and I was involved in an incident. A young lady told me to go to my room because I was involved with a brother getting burned up in his room. He was asleep with his TV set on, and around the corner in another room, a mattress was on fire, and he was asleep. And I knew his name is Apple. He's a good friend of mine. It doesn't make any sense. They, and that young lady told me to go to my room, I got very mad. See, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I do have Agent Orange, and I do know somebody else. So I'm thinking about taking her to court and seeing why she told me to go to my room when I tried to tell the fire department there's a young man in his room with the TV set on, sleep, but the fire was going on. That's all I wanted to let them know. That was wrong for them to not even let him know that. Not even let him know that the fire is going on. It doesn't make any sense. You got to get out of building when the fire is going on, no matter where it is. You don't know how fast it's going to spray it. Thank you.
Right.
I like it.
My name's Curtis Gray. I'm currently Union of Homeless. I was homeless for 2.5 to 3 years. I now have a job. I'm a perfect example that if you give a homeless person a chance, they can get off the street. But what bothers me in Berkeley is we've had a hotel that sat empty for 4 years. In 1986, it was burned in an arson fire. The low-income people that were there were kicked out, and the city council has refused to do anything with it, even though there's a non-profit agency in Berkeley that would like to take it and convert it back into low-income housing. Recently, 3 or 4 months ago, the city of Berkeley tried to pass a daytime camping ordinance in the community. We organized the homeless people, we went to a Parks and Rec commission meeting, and we got defeated before it ever went to city council. Recently, we took over our house. First time in the East Bay that any activists have ever been charged with commercial burglary for taking over an empty house. We go to court for the 13th of this month to face a commercial burglary charge for taking over an empty house. But this isn't going to stop us. The fight has to go on. There has to be people in every community that are willing to take up the fight, commit nonviolent civil disobedience when it's necessary. Recently, our lawyers got together. The police were coming to people's hearts. Against the University of California person from destroying the homeless people's property and people's cars.
But first, I'd like to have somebody from San Jose speak, because that's the story we haven't heard yet.
Santa Cruz people out here. Hey, up there in San Jose, they're doing something. We got our place in the house because we pushed so hard to get it. We had to push. We pushed so hard where these people got sick of seeing our face every day. But they gave us a house. They got their low housing income people to come down. They set up the Guadalupe Project down here in San Jose. Me and my girlfriend Carol over here was a fine example. All we're waiting for is our key to get in our house. So you see Santa Cruz people in Oakland and Berkeley and Hayward, everywhere else about the South Bay here, you stick with it. Stay strong, people. Stay strong. We're all number one. Good little people out here. Hey, the dirtiest man you might see on the streets these days could be the best man you'll ever meet in your life. I'd like to have a Santa Barbara person speak, since we're trying to get every county represented. We've had almost everybody from different areas in the north. Here's a man from the south. Santa Barbara is a town where they actually did abolish their sleeping ban in 1986. And people like Mike were sitting in month after month after month at City Hall down there, and Mitch Snyder, his campaign to go to Santa Barbara, come to Santa Barbara, go to sleep, go to jail, that resulted in Santa Barbara changing its sleeping law so that it became legal to sleep in Santa Barbara. It became legal to sleep, but now they're trying to turn back the clock. And maybe Mike can talk about this. Mike is also notorious in this region because he walked up from Santa Barbara. He walked with a shopping cart, an American flag, and a Coleman stove 280 miles from Santa Barbara. Laws and changing laws that make homeless people criminals. And when he, through every jurisdiction he went, well, why don't you tell him, Mike? You could tell him. In every county he went through, he was walking on the highway in many cases where it's
said, no pedestrians. California Highway Patrol come up to him and say, what are you doing? And they say, well, I'm doing a peace walk because there's a need to change the laws in Santa Cruz and other counties because people get arrested just for sleeping pills in jail. It doesn't make any sense. Costs lots of money. It's no good.
Yeah.
And the cop said, go ahead. Keep on going.
Right.
But you know what happened when he got to Santa Cruz County? He got arrested. Not with one squad car, not with two, not with three, but four squad cars arrested this dangerous girl walking on the highway. But he's back, and here he is, Mike Wilson from Santa Barbara. Hey, thanks for talking about these things and taking the time to come on out here. This town has $138 sleeping ticket. Doesn't take many of them before you owe lots of jail time. Doesn't take many at all. I find it hard to believe that a town that wants to attract tourists just increasingly and repeatedly dives in to controversial issues like some people's food is to be found in dumpsters. There is no place to sleep. You cannot take a shower. We will steal your possessions as if they had no price. As if the only picture you had left of a departed person that's confiscated from you and thrown in the trash is not priceless. As if you could put a price on the only bedroll you have. You know, we live in a fishbowl. We live in a fishbowl out here. And if all they can find against us is that we need some sleep occasionally and we have to void our bladder, you know, then I question the legality of that. I'm going to continue to question the legality of it. Thank you all for coming here.
Right.
And it's not over. This is just the first step in a long journey. Thank you. Okay, I want you to know that this is not going to be the only opportunity to speak. In other words, we are going to be speaking all afternoon. This thing may get out, but we're going to keep talking anyway. We're going to be talking to each other. So this is a pretty hot area to be speaking in. We're going to be later on, about an hour and a half from now, after the march, we're going to be in the benchlands in the shade. It's actually going to be more comfortable to talk and to hear each other talk. But here's a woman who's been standing here waiting to talk for, I don't know how long you've been waiting here to talk, but what's your name?
Ann Arnold. I'm president of Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. Community are here as observers, first to welcome you from the other communities and to know that what you are bringing here will hopefully make some difference. We want to make sure that the homeless are taken care of. We look at a broader picture that this national housing problem has to be solved really nationally and internationally. We work towards a budget that would mean low-income housing, take it away from the military, and let's have it for low-income housing.
All right.
Yeah, one other thing is that we hope that your being here will perhaps make it possible for you to, some of your leaders from other areas, will make it possible for some kind of reconciliation with our city council. They are very good on many issues. Our will supports our city council. We just want to make sure that the laws are correct, and that First Amendment rights are given to everyone, no matter who they are, whether they have a home or not. So let's try to make that an era of reconciliation.
In this area was sponsored by the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. So even though I don't agree with every position they have, I certainly respect that, and I thank you. Somebody behind me wanted to speak.
Hey,
here you are. Okay. Pam, where are you? Pam from the Oakland Union of the Homeless. Pam.
I know a lot of people don't know what my name is, but I'm Pam. I've been three times homeless. I'm with the Oakland Union of the Homeless. I had to say this because my compadre said just about a mouthful a few minutes ago, Gerald. But I wanted to let you know that our struggle is the same as yours. About a year or two ago, we took over a park, an old man's park.
Yeah, brother, right on. Ain't no fellow.
What had happened in that park is that they had taken everyone's possessions out, threw them away, and told everyone they could not sleep in the park, and they boarded up the bathrooms. So what we did as a union, we all got together, we decided to have a march down through the park toward the doors, off of the restroom. Then we marched to the Hyatt Regency. that we had in the park, I see a little passive, submissive group. Now, let me let you know there's nothing wrong with that. Because of the type of people that you have around here in these red shirts and things that are constantly intimidating you, you can't sleep nowhere. Everywhere you go, you're going to get arrested. I can understand that type of attitude that you have. But, you know, you asked Oakland to be here in solidarity, and you asked a very powerful thinking group. We don't back down. You know, and it's only going to depend on one thing. There's only one thing you guys have to remember. It's like these people here on my shirt. It says Marcus, Malcolm, Mark, Marley, Mandela, and me.
All right.
How to put it together and fight on their level now.
We've got a man from Orange County, deep in Orange County, is going to speak. Then we're going to have a local fellow, Bruce Van Allen, who's been on the city council. He's actually one of the few council people, maybe he'll correct me on this, who is actually opposed current enforcement of the sleeping ban. And after that, we've got a man who's going to play a guitar and sing his song about homelessness, Mark Levy. And we're going to have more speakers after that, and we're going to keep on talking until we all get blue in the face. So, it's 12 o'clock, I've been told. High noon. And we're all here. Nobody's beating up. Nobody's lying out flat on the ground. We're all fine. So everybody can express their opinions. That's what this is all about. Okay.
I want to say something right now.
Yeah, well, hang on a second. Let's do it person by person here. Okay, my name is Dr. Michael Zinn. I'm from Orange County, and 2 years ago, I didn't know a whole lot about the homeless people, but 2 years ago, I got run over by a yacht and a kayak. My son and I were out in a bay kayaking. We got run over by a drunk in a yacht. And I had so many physical injuries that I lost my practice. I lost my little boy at 2 years old. I lost my family. I lost my house. I lost everything I owned. I was paid $78,000 worth of medical bills since that time. My medical insurance went from $98 a month to $530 a month until I couldn't pay anymore. Then I found out that the state of California had passed a law in 1988 saying unless the actions of an insurance company are despicable, you can't sue them. So I had no recourse. And now I'm living in Santa Cruz and just starting a practice here, and I'm taking every bit of money I'm getting and putting it into medical treatment for myself. But I wanted to stand up and be counted as far as being a homeless person. I am a homeless person. I'm living in a van.
All right.
I went to school for 16 years to become a doctor. I'm a Vietnam-era veteran, and I worked real hard to get where I was. And I'm not willing to not work. It's just that I was in so much pain that I vomited from the pain daily. And I think this is not an area issue of city anymore. This is an issue of this country. I think this country has sold out.
Right.
And I think that one of the things that I learned in the service was that when a country's in distress, you put the American flag upside down. That's what needs to be done here. People need to stand up, and count it. And I'm one of them. Next speaker is, do we have Bruce here? Is Bruce around?
I'll let Sherry go first.
Before we have Bruce, we have Sherry Connable. Sherry is a local Santa Cruz activist. She organized Earth Day, and she's been working very hard to make sure that this demonstration is well observed and that folks that ran through the demonstration with their cars honking and their red shirts blaring get a chance to have their say, but just that, just to have their say. It's like we get to have our say. So here's Sherry.
So my name is Sherry, and I want to thank you all for coming down here today. I've been one of the people in the middle of organizing.
we could come here today and do the work that we need to do together so that our rights of free assembly and of free speech would be respected, and so that the possibility that this would be really a peaceful and nonviolent demonstration would be carried forward.
All right.
When I first came to Santa Cruz 12 years ago, I lived on the North County beaches for 4 months with my 7-year-old son. It took that much time for me to find a place that I could afford to live in and that somebody would welcome a single mother with a child into. And about a month ago, I decided that this was an issue of paramount importance not only to this community, but to the nation as a whole. So I want to talk a little bit about home, because we all have a home, and that home is called planet Earth. We've all been born onto this planet, and we have a right to be here. We have a right to certain levels of decency, dignity, and respect. And I believe that we came onto this planet on a certain journey, and that journey is about love. It's about caring. It's about holding each other. It's about circles. It's about tenderness. It's about gentleness. It's about reaching out with a helping hand when someone needs help. Because all of us have been in the situation where we needed help, and we know how that feels, whether we're homeless or not. There are many, many people here in this community, and I want to speak very honestly today. I think this is an issue that is kind of tearing at the heart of Santa Cruz right now. There are many people here among us today, myself included, who have done a lot of work over the last couple of decades for peace, for social justice, for seniors, for health care, for child care. And many of them are coming forward here today and are going to continue to come forward and say, this is a priority and now. It is not acceptable to have people who do not have a safe place to sleep at night, who do not have a place to take a shower, who do not have a place to leave just a backpack full of belongings for the day. But those are basic levels of human support that everybody has a right to.
Right.
So there's been some pain in this community around this issue. And I think there's really a very sincere intent and a heart will right now to move forward on creating real solutions and real help that's needed by people who are in pain and saying, help me, I just need a baseline level of support to lead a decent life.
The problem is
today. And I want to say something a little different about Santa Cruz, because I know that we're here today because many of us are concerned, upset, our hearts ache, and some of us are perhaps outraged about some of what we've seen here in Santa Cruz in response to a people who really need some help. My own belief about Santa Cruz is that the heart and the compassion of this city is deep, it's wide, it's committed, that we can not only turn around what's happening right now, but in fact we can become a model city for a really sensitive and a really caring response for a situation that's only going to grow over the next few years. And I really believe in our possibilities to do that. I think we're all here to move that agenda forward. I want to remind you that the local homeless community here voted today to move the demonstration because of a counter-demonstration that was called. Our understanding is some of those people from the counter-demonstration will probably continue during the day to come where we are, and that we are here for a peaceful, nonviolent demonstration to talk about just causes and just human needs, that we will maintain that, and that we have a right to do that, and we know where moral justice lies in this situation. Thank you for my two sons who are just now making the transition to adulthood, and I see how easily, in a matter of a month or two, they could become homeless, not because they're bad people, but just because luck and the difficulty of making a human journey could have that happen to them as well. So I thank you for myself. I thank you for them. Another person now, this is a man who has sat in the past on the Santa Cruz City Council. Bruce related a story to me where he first came to Santa Cruz as kind of a long-haired hippie, that he was denied access to some businesses in town on the basis of the way he looked, even though he had money in his hand. So he has some primary experience of what the issues are here. And he's presently sitting on the board that's going to help define the future of Santa Cruz after the earthquake, and he wanted to share some of his thoughts and feelings today. Bruce Fanning.
Thank you, Sherry. I was mayor of Santa Cruz in 1983, and that was the year that the Reagan recession hit in January of 1983, and people began being out of their homes on a much larger scale. I was called by the head of the local Salvation Army, who said, "Bruce, we can't handle it anymore." And I was told by the school district that there was a huge increase in the number of kids in the schools who reported no home address, and they looked into it and found it was because of people living in their cars with their families. It's gotten worse since then. I feel a little good about having had a chance at that point in 1983 to set up the first shelter network in Santa Cruz, which was a model in those days for what other communities began adopting. Of course, I got into politics in the first place working on rent control and tenant organizing in Santa Cruz in the 70s. We never did get rent control because of the difficulty of that politically, but it has kept me committed to working on affordable housing ever since then, which I still do. Well, it's the 4th of July, Independence Day, and I want to say, what do we have to celebrate? Well, I think there are many things that we in this country, we here in Santa Cruz, can celebrate. We have a great degree of a way of life and a beautiful country and certain freedoms and things like that. But at the same time, there are things that are keeping us from celebrating. And I think the reason that we're here to rally today instead of at the beach is that we're very aware of some of the problems here. Millions of people in our country, the richest country in the world, are out of work. Millions of people don't have homes. Millions of children don't have health care, child care, and a chance to grow up with dignity as full human beings. In a way, there is something we can celebrate today. I think we can celebrate the idea of shelter, because we know. For myself, I live month to month. There's sometimes when I don't have the rent and I have to call around to friends and borrow the rent. For many people here today, that's not even a possibility because they don't have the resources or the friends in the community. But think about it. We know in some ways better than anybody else how important shelter is. And I think that's what we're celebrating today, is the shelter that we can see because we don't have it frequently. In the last 100 years, our country has not been able to provide shelter to large numbers of poor and working people. Urban housing has been provided by big companies that build it for their workers. Farm worker housing has been provided by the farmers themselves because the people can't afford it on the wages they pay. In the 20s, our system invented the mortgage loan so that working people could afford to finance their housing. That didn't exist before. And of course, since the 30s and that depression, we're in another one now, but in that depression, The federal government began pumping billions and billions of dollars every year into housing subsidies. Our system does not provide affordable housing. I think that's very clear. Of course, now, in recent years, since the Reagan 80s, almost all of the federal subsidies have been eliminated for housing. That's why a lot of people are on the street.
Yeah, thanks.
Real estate speculation in Santa Cruz, I have watched it drive the price of housing up here from where you could live in a house in Santa Cruz for $50 a month when I came to Santa Cruz 20 years ago. You know, it's interesting that there's an issue here in Santa Cruz which is not so much the cost of housing, but it's the clash between what you might call the mainstream and what you might call the counterculture. 20 years ago, that clash was just as real. As Sherry mentioned, I and many other sort of counterculture people were refused service in Santa Cruz businesses and were hassled by police repeatedly. We couldn't take a walk in the dark at night without being hassled in this community. That's a different issue from the question of the affordability of housing, but now that housing is so expensive in this town because the real estate speculators get rich by buying and selling our homes and making a profit off it repeatedly, Now, the counterculture clash has turned into a heavy-duty economic clash over housing and over affordable food and over shelter and other services for poor people. And this is making it harder here. This is making it a situation that is why there was a rally today over at City Hall by the Red Shirts. I believe that as goodwill as those people may have, and I try to believe that everybody acts out of goodwill, that they are organizing largely because of, not because they hate poor people, but because they see people who are on the street as the counterculture that they have hated for 20 years and never changed their position on, never dropped their bigotry about, and never dropped their prejudice. So right now, we have a crisis. We have deepening poverty in the United States that is not getting better. And what I would like to do is share a few thoughts from my experience. I don't have a solution, but I do have some ideas to share and some experience. First of all, let's think about what is the point really for poor and homeless people. I don't think we really want to institutionalize homelessness by sort of creating a niche in society for people that we're denying the economic ability to have a roof over their heads. That's not the point to me.
It's a point. Everyone should have freedom to live.
Now, perhaps because I've been on the city council and been mayor, I'm biased, but I feel that the city of Santa Cruz has actually done a fair amount to deal with poverty and the cost of housing in our community. In 1980, this city provided $50,000 a year for social programs, and that was primarily and to me, that's not something that can be just ignored. But of course, it's not enough. While our system keeps creating poverty, people need a place to sleep right now, tonight. While we need to change the system, how can we say wait? Because people are suffering now. We can't say stay awake until we change the system. So I have a few thoughts to offer. My brother Bob here might not be completely comfortable with everything I'm going to say, but I want to say it anyway because to me the important thing is that people stand together. First, in the broadest view, how do we get change in society? Get change in society is by pushing for it. But think about this for a second. Social values and government spending change not in response to tiny little minorities of people acting radical. They change in response to a broad consensus in society. And that is what we have to be part of building here. That's what stopped the Vietnam War. That's what brought civil rights advances, not enough, but some, in the 60s and 70s. We need to be building alliances. We need to be shifting the overall consensus of opinion in our country in order to change government spending and government policies. And so I want to say a few things about effectiveness, because I think that here in Santa Cruz, we are deadlocked right now. We are in a stuck place where we're not getting anywhere, and we haven't been getting anywhere for a while. There's a distinction to be made between being principled and being ineffective. Being principled does not mean losing all the time. It's not effective sometimes to ask for something when you know the answer is going to be no. Sometimes that is important to make a point, but if you want what you're asking for, sometimes it's better not to demand it. Because if you know the answer is going to be no, then something has happened in the world, something has changed, and it's set as a no answer. Picking a fight with a stronger opponent is something that has to be done with some attention and some care. And I can give you the lesson from rent control. We organized tenants in Santa Cruz through the late 70s, and what we found was that the more we publicized the need for rent control and the more we organized, the landlords, of whom there are fewer and who have more money, they got organized faster and better than we did. And that's why we didn't get rent control in Santa Cruz. Now, this doesn't mean give up. It means we have to be careful. We have to be smart about choosing our struggles. People who are in a weak position need to find allies, need to find sympathizers, and work collectively on a larger scale to make change against the rich and powerful. I want to talk about leadership for a minute. People who are homeless and poor should be choosing their own leaders.
People need to organize to represent themselves. That's why I'm not going to get up here and tell somebody what to do. I'm just going to reflect some of my experience. People always have the right to withdraw authority from their leaders. Now, this is a fairly basic question. I applaud the decision that was made in the last week and a half to move this rally here to avoid a confrontation with the reactionaries who gathered at City Hall today. That was, to me, an example of true leadership and of people taking control of their situation. And that is what we should be working on doing more and more and learning from as a positive experience. So let me take on a hard thing here. I support the demand that people be allowed to camp and sleep in Santa Cruz. But I know that I'm in a very distinct minority, and I happen to believe that the demand to drop the camping ban is a loser. No city council in Santa Cruz, left or right, compassionate or cold, will stay in office more than about 2 weeks if they rescinded the camping ban.
Hey, don't give up, people.
Sorry?
Don't give up on your people.
We have to find...
Don't give up.
We are stuck now. We have had 3 years of deadlock, and so let me give you something from my experience, which is when you have a deadlock that's not getting anywhere, then we have to find a way to break the deadlock. To break a deadlock, there are three simple things to do. Back off, cut the issue a different way, and work on finding people that are capable of leading and truly representing people. Okay, so I want to suggest that in the last few weeks,
it's also illegal to feed people.
Oh, yeah?
You can't feed people on the street in Santa Cruz without a permit. This is a song about Sandra Loringer, one of the people who tried to feed those of us who were hungry on the street and got arrested and thrown in jail. I want you to sing this with me. The song is called 999 Points of Light. It's got a chorus that's a call and repeat. So when I say 30 days, you yell back 30 days. When I say in the county jail, you yell back in the county jail. And we'll do that through the chorus. Let's not do it through the whole song, because otherwise you'll be repeating everything I say. It'll get a little old. It's gotten a little old, though, hasn't it? Alright, so let's try it. 30 days in the county jail. Here we go. 30 days.
30 days.
In the county jail.
In the county jail.
Hold my calls.
Hold my calls.
Hold my mail.
Hold my mail.
Serving soup.
Serving soup.
That was my crime.
That was my crime.
Now instead of serving soup, I'm serving time. I have a shot.
Have a
free food. It must be fit. So here I am.
No. How many paychecks from the street?
One.
How many paychecks from the street?
One.
Why?
There's no convenient way to do this. I'm going to send Sony this design and they'll give me $1 million.
You need a system like the cops do, with a shotgun microphone that can pick up whispered conversation.
Oh, right. Really? If I managed to acquire one of those, they'd probably arrest me.
Yeah, they're probably legal.
Yeah. Or just asking if I could buy one would get me in trouble, right? Show me your...
I think they have to operate through walls to be considered
yeah.
device like that. I think they can have
them. Uh-huh.
Line of sight is what you
mean. Thank you.
been taken by those kind gentlemen that you see who are ICE. Officers who have better things to do to arrest people every night, ticket them for sleeping. It's their sergeants who are giving the orders. Most of these officers don't act on their own initiative in that manner. Anyway, this post office has an interesting history because we didn't get much rain this spring. But when we did, homeless people slept here under the eaves of the post office. You know what the Postmaster General did when he found that out? He didn't get them arrested. He had them thrown out into the rain. He threatened them with arrest. And he came down to do this personally himself. And he did it two weekends, one after another. Anyway, I thought we'd stop here because this is the site of a protest that's gone on for 7.5 months. The homeless table vigil right in the center. People have been doing this every night. I have been out there sleeping, but this guy to my right has, this man to my left has, and this man here has. And there are a bunch of other people who have as well. And they sleep there partially because they have no place else to sleep, partially because they believe. Let me let them talk to themselves. This is Moonrise Mike Guerrero. Yeah. Mike.